Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So what up?
you know, I don't know about the tickets. And every team is different. And usually the teams negotiate, and the players, they all oblige. Every blue moon, a player will come out and say, hey, I don't really care because I don't care about that stuff. But for the most part, the team arranges all that. And he did get a picture with Freddie. I saw it on Twitter last night. And, you know, you get what you can. I personally think a ball, autograph ball or an autograph bat, I would prefer the bat, is more than a fair trade. But if you can get a jersey out of it, a little bit more, doesn't hurt to ask, right? I some teams are going to kind of push back on you a little bit. Other ones are going to give you whatever they want. I think it depends on how much the souvenir means to the actual player.
Mm-hmm.
And I know 200 is a really nice number. But I think all three of us and everybody listening knows that Freddie Freeman is going to get the 300, 400 in his career. 200 is nice, but I think 500, those are the ones you really, really give a king's ransom for.
Oh, yeah, Jerome. Well, I'm going to ask you flat out. You, if you caught it, if you could ask for anything or if you wanted anything, what would you try to get from Freddie Freeman for that 200th ball?
Ooh, well, if I was the casual average fan, I would ask for a jersey and a bat. And, of course, the picture. The picture's a no-brainer. But I probably wouldn't ask for much more than that.
That's not bad.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, that's not bad.
To me, those are items that you can't get. You know, you may be able to get them to sign a ball here or there somewhere at one of these signings or after a game, but it's going to be hard to get them to sign a bat and a game-used jersey. You got to have a game-used jersey, though. Don't give me one of those from the retail store. I want game-used.
Long-time listeners over the 6.5 years, the 92.9 The Game has been on the air. We'll remember Jerome Drinovich as one of our esteemed hosts. And now, of course, he was doing double duty, which was a lot to do. And now just locking in on TV at Fox Sports Southeast and covering the Hawks and the Braves and whatnot. Let's talk a little bit about the team as they go to San Francisco. Brian Snicker just saying, hey, we're just starting to scratch the potential. Ever since, Jerome, they moved Acuna to the top of the lineup, dropped Donaldson to fourth. Here comes Riley inserted into the lineup. And you've gotten Newcomb and Tukey to settle down that bullpen with Webb and Winkler. Since all those things have happened in the last couple of weeks, this team is looking like an entirely different team.
Absolutely right, John. They've done a 180. You know, I said this on the air yesterday. Barry Bonds batted leadoff for 2.5 years when he first came up with the Pirates. And I think all of us would agree there has not been a better power hitter over the last 30 years than Barry Bonds. It took him a while to get comfortable everywhere they put him in the lineup. And the same thing is happening to Acuna. Let him get so confident and so comfortable that he can hit anywhere. Until then, put him where he feels the most comfortable, and that's leadoff. And every one of us that has watched the Braves this year saw he was trying too much there in that cleanup spot. It was a different approach, whether he felt the pressure to drive in runs or he was overswinging. He just wasn't the same hitter he was the second half of last year. The last 9 games, that's exactly who he's been. And then that filters down through the lineup. Now, it wasn't necessarily the Braves going into the season saying, hey, this kid's got power, let's put him in the four hole. They signed Donaldson. Donaldson came into the season preferring the second spot. So that's what really led the lineup the way it was for the first month and a half. And then after they realized, they said, Josh, we got to move you down because we got to move him up. And Donaldson said, fine, whatever works for the team. And next thing you know, you got Riley coming up. Oh, my goodness. What a breath of fresh air. And Chipper said it best the other day. I don't care how good you are, how many years you've been in this league. When you get a young kid come up like that and gives you instant production, it's just a breath of fresh air throughout that entire locker room. Even the veterans feed off of it. And you could just see the last 4 or 5 days in that clubhouse. Those guys are loose. They've been having fun all year, but they are really – confident right now. There is an extra pep in their step. It's fun to see. And I think Soroka has had a lot to do with that as well. Let's not overlook this young man who's going to be on the hill tonight. ERA under one. He has been phenomenal.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You know, talking about that pitching that you have right now, you were talking about Sean Newcomb. We were talking about Sean Newcomb being in the bullpen, and we were also talking about Tuvi Toussaint in the role that he's playing right now. Do you think these guys have found their home in the bullpen, or is it still a possibility that Sean Newcomb will get a chance to be in the starting role again?
Well, they're going to be starters one day, but you have to leave both of them in the pen right now, especially Newcomb. Our biggest fear was that Folty was going to have a really bad game yesterday, because if he had a bad game yesterday, they were going to send him down, and they were going to contemplate moving Newcomb back into the starting rotation. I don't think – thank goodness that didn't happen, because Newcomb has found his niche. He's been a different pitcher, much like Max Fried said. When he came up in the pen, he knew you got to throw strikes, you got to attack. And that's the one thing Newcomb has not done. He's always nibbled. Now he's in the pen. He knows, boom, 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 you got to go right at these guys. And when you have stuff as good as theirs, more often than not, you're going to succeed. He has been a different pitcher. And let's face it, we don't really have a strong lefty in there. You know, they had to release Venters because, God bless Johnny, a great pitcher during his day. But, you know, 3.5 Tommy Johns just got to him. And Toussaint is going to be a fantastic starter. But right now, both are excelling in the bullpen. And we need bullpen help. You got to leave them in there. You have to leave them in there.
We're talking with Jerome Drenovich, of course, of Fox Sports South. Well, if the expectation level is up, and Sticker speaking to something Jerome, I was talking about earlier, which is that this last 10-game stretch and with the changes that have been made has raised my expectation level now to two-team race with Philadelphia. That's my expectation level. I don't know where we go from there. I'll find out in another month. But that's my expectation level now, is that maybe you could separate yourself with Philadelphia from the Mets in Washington. Do you see that happening?
I think it's too early to count out both Washington and New York. I mean, we're not even in June yet, and it looks like the Mets are getting ready to make a managerial change. Not that it's Callaway's problem up there. I mean, they still have pitching. They still have a decent offense, and the Nationals may be even better without Harper this year, believe it or not. But they are the Nationals. They're kind of like the Toronto Raptors of baseball. They have all this talent. They can only get so far every year. So I wouldn't count those two out yet, but it is definitely Philly's division to win or lose, but I believe that if there's one team that can overtake them, it is the Atlanta Braves, especially with the acquisition of Soroka and Fried, the way they have been pitched. Even if Folty doesn't give us what he gave us last year, if he gives us 70 to 80% of what he gave us last year, I think the Braves are going to win that division if Fried and Soroka stay healthy.
Talking with Jerome Drenovich of Fox Sports about the Braves tonight against the San Francisco Giants, 9:45 first pitch with Soroka on the hill, start of a 7-game road trip, San Francisco for 4 and St. Louis for 3 as we talk about the Braves here. Jerome, I want to go back to what Hugh was talking about with the bullpen. You've got Sean Newcomb and Tuki Toussaint. Webb has pitched well, Winkler's pitched well, and Luke Jackson's giving you some nice moments too. With Novis Caino, with A.J. Minter, and who knows, what do you expect from a closer standpoint? Is it Luke Jackson's job to lose at this point, or we still have this thing hanging out there with some guy named Craig?
Yeah, you know, we're getting so close to June 2nd now that I don't want to stir anything up, but the Kimbrel may be inaccurate. Here's the problem with Kimbrel. I mean, he hasn't thrown in so long. Even if you sign him on June 2nd, you're still going to have to wait a month for the guy. Now, of course, it would be like picking up a trade in the second half of the season, but you still don't know how effective he's going to be because he hasn't been anywhere all the first half of the year. I think Luke Jackson has got to be the man. I think Webb is actually more suited for that position because that is what he was doing in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But he just doesn't have that major league confidence level yet. The way Jackson has responded after opening day, you have to sit there and go, he could be our best guy in the pen. He's our best option. So is it a bullpen by committee? Not necessarily, but I would agree that it's Luke Jackson is your at least closer for the moment.
Yeah, I would just one thing real quick. I just so Jerome knows, I don't call it bullpen by committee. I call it bullpen by audition.
Yeah, but it has been bad. But you know, we're talking about what Austin Riley has meant to this club so far. He's been up, and the fact that you know yesterday started at third baseman playing left field. You know, Jerome, I hate to be that guy, but what happens when Ender Inciarte gets healthy?
That's a million-dollar question.
You know what I mean? I mean, because
we're
sitting here talking about, you know, him being a shot in the arm and everything and how different this club looks. Okay, when Ender comes back, that's a problem.
Well, it's a good problem to have, though, when you have a three-time Gold Glove Award winner and you're not sure what to do with him. It's not like he's a 230 hitter. And then, so, look, temporarily, until Riley doesn't hit, you're going to have to keep him up here. Mm-hmm. Now, there will become a book on him. Major league pitchers will adjust. We'll see. He didn't get a hit yesterday, but my goodness, he's been amazing since he's been up here. If he continues that, you have to leave him up here. There is no question that you have to leave him up there. And if that happens, somebody is going to get packaged, whether it's Ender, whether it's Camargo, whether it's Matt Joyce. Somebody is going to have to move to make room. So what is your best option? Who's going to bring you the most value? I guess that's really what you're saying. And I'm not saying that they need to trade Ender, but they're going to have to make a roster spot. Joyce is the left-handed bat off the bench. You have Ender, who's a great late-inning defensive replacement. So, you know, you're not going to want to put Riley out, keep him out there in left field in the ninth inning. So does that mean Ender sticks around and Camargo goes? Or does Joyce go? Because Camargo's valuable all around the place. It is going to be an interesting dilemma, and that's why Alex Anthopoulos makes the big bucks.
Well, we get ready for San Francisco, a place that has never been Jerome Kind to the Braves, as we know.
Never.
Never. And so I'm kind of hopeful that maybe Braves go in here and maybe the, you know, I'd take 2-2 out of this set here because why is it that you have, everybody's got a bugaboo, right? Braves have always had a bugaboo about going to that place.
It's cold, it's damp, even though the newer park is a million times better than Candlestick, it's heavy, the air is heavy out there because you're right on the water. It's always chilly. There's just something about San Francisco. It doesn't play anything like you are across the bay in Oakland. It definitely isn't anything like L.A. or San Diego. I don't know what to tell you, but it's been that way for years. Even the really good Braves teams have always had problems out there. There's just something about that atmosphere, and I agree with you. If they could take two here, that would be a success in my eyes. And by the way, I heard you guys earlier saying you're only going to make it till the third inning. What's that all about? Come on, stay up late with me.
3:45. Do you have to wake up at 3:45, Jerome?
Hey, Jerome. 3:30 come early, man.
Are you kidding me? I had to set the alarm for 8:30 to get up to be with you guys.
Hey, Jerome. But see, this is what I do. I get up in the morning, and while I'm getting dressed, because it takes me forever to get dressed, I'll just watch the game in the morning. If I can give you 3 to 4 innings, then I can, on the backside, I can watch the game in the morning, and I'm fine. I'm good. But I can't watch it at night. I can't do it that late. I can't do it. It's too late.
I got nothing but mad respect for you guys that do those morning shows. There's no question about it. And you wouldn't take you that long to get dressed if you didn't style and profile every day. Just go in looking like Fricky.
No, you know what?
Other way around.
The sad part about it. Yeah, he's right, Jerome. I wear pajamas to work, and it still takes me forever to get dressed.
Jerome, it's always a pleasure. Don't be a stranger. Thanks, bub.
Okay, buddy.
Right. Have a good one.
Jerome Drinovich of Fox Sports Southeast. All right, your chance right now to win $1,000 in the national signing bonus. Here's the word of the hour.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
boat, B-O-A-T. You won't be able to buy a boat with $1,000, but you know what? It's a pretty good day. Boat, B-O-A-T. For $1,000 to 72881, boat to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive, 99thegame.com/ for rules. Boat, B-O-A-T to 72881. All right, thanks to our buddy Jerome. And next, our buddy Mike Cotting going to join us. What does he think of what happened with the Five Stripes at Red Bull Arena and where we stand with the team now? We'll talk to Mike Cotting live next after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Science.
Picked up by Shotkoski.
And he blows the final whistle.
They didn't let him take the free kick.
What in the world is Robert Sabiga doing to end this match?
And now we have a melee. Tito Villalba is in it along with Shotkoski. A fight has broken out here right at the net.
It's a lot of pushing and shoving right now. There's no punches being thrown.
Romario Williams trying to pull Tito Villalba out of traffic. The match is over. Atlanta United has lost.
Bitter ending to a bitter day for Atlanta United. Last night, a 1-0 loss at Red Bull Arena. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Mike Connie joins us this morning. He is brought to you by Brightbox Electrical, Atlanta's unshockingly good electricians. And what a weird way. I mean, couldn't get the free kick off, didn't even allow it at the end of the game, which was bizarre. And then tempers flared. Mike, welcome to the program after a kind of an interesting night, interesting and not a good way night at Red Bull Arena.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good,
pretty
man.
Good, pretty good. Mike, you know, we were talking about this, and you know, this long stretch of games, that, you know, short period of time. Do you think fatigue finally caught up with the team last night?
I do. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, look, it's disappointing when you're playing up a man for an hour and he can't score, and not only do you not get a point, you don't get anything. You lose. But I think if we're looking at the full picture of what happened last night, no doubt fatigue was a factor. You had some squad rotation Wednesday in Vancouver, but not really a lot. You know, Pitty Martinez played 90 minutes again. He's someone who has to put in a very high work rate because he's running all over the place. Julian Gressel went to Vancouver, played a little bit in that match, and then started last night. Tito Villalba is someone who has played a lot of minutes lately. You know, defensively, Leandro Gonzalez-Perez continues to play every minute of every match. You saw a lot of Franco Escobar again, someone who I thought might have been running out of gas Wednesday night. So no doubt that caught up with them. When the schedule came out, I forget when it was, I guess late December, early January, this was a match that we were all really nervous about because Atlanta United was playing this ridiculously compressed schedule with all the midweek matches. They had to go to Vancouver and then go to New York, whereas Red Bulls had a week off, and they didn't have the element of travel that Atlanta United had. So it was certainly a competitive disadvantage from that regard. But, again, you know, when you're playing up a man for an hour, you expect to get more, and they didn't, and that's very disappointing.
Mike Connie joining us this morning talking about Atlanta United and where they stand after the latest regular season loss to Red Bulls. Mike, one of the things that struck me toward the end of the game, reason we played your call there at the end of the game between the two, and it went on with Brad Guzan getting into a little bit of a heated disagreement, is that, you know, the fans designated Orlando City as a rival, and there's certainly been a rivalry. And we asked a poll this morning about, after last night, you know, who do you consider Atlanta United's main rival? And right now, Orlando City or New York Red Bulls, right now 76% of the fans are saying New York Red Bulls are more of a rivalry than Orlando City.
I agree. I mean, there's a lot of bitterness and bad blood in this series, and you certainly saw in the post-match remarks from Kamar Lawrence, who was involved in that fray at the end last night. You know, Red Bulls have never even allowed Atlanta United to score a goal in that stadium. That's the fourth time that Atlanta United has played there. So certainly Red Bulls have dominated playing on their home field, but Atlanta United cost them the MLS Cup last year, because they beat them soundly at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in late November in the first leg of the Eastern Conference Final. Clearly, they have not forgotten. Clearly, Chris Arm is their manager. Used that as a rallying point this week. And you certainly saw how much it meant to Red Bulls and their supporters to get that victory last night. They're playing a lot better. They had a very slow start in CONCACAF Champions League. They have played much better over the last month. But, yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. I think when you play Red Bulls, when you play New York City, when you play D.C., when you play Orlando, there's a little something extra to it. And that was about as chippy a final 5 minutes of an Atlanta United match I've seen in 2 years. Maybe the one against Vancouver where there's a mass confrontation at the end of that match last March at the Benz. That's the only other one I can think of. So, yeah, it's a rivalry. And it's fun. It's fun for the fans. It sets up a very intriguing rematch now, July 7th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which will follow the Women's World Cup final on national television.
I like that word you used, Mike, kind of chippy. Chippy, haven't heard that word in a long time. You know, we were talking about Brad Guzan the last couple of weeks and how, you know, honestly, he didn't get a whole lot of work. How do you grade his overall play from yesterday? You know, he gave up the goal, but how do you grade his overall play from yesterday?
Oh, he was fine. I mean, look, 526 minutes without giving up a goal. You're going to get nipped every now and then. If Brad might have been a little out of position on the Barlow goal, but if you drag it back and watch where the play starts, Red Bulls had a numbers advantage, and Brad was forced to come off his line and make a decision and may have guessed incorrectly, but he didn't have a lot of help in front of him, and that's why he had to come off his line and do that. That was a team breakdown. That wasn't on one guy. That was on everyone. Jason and I wound it back a couple different times last night. We're looking, okay, what happened? Who was slow? Who didn't get back? It was everyone. And it was an exquisite counter by Red Bulls. You have to give them credit, too. They did a really good job of picking out space and making the right decisions. But that was a team breakdown by Atlanta United. It was not exclusively on the goalkeeper or any one individual.
Talking with Mike Connie, who joins us this morning, as Atlanta United now gets a little bit of a respite till Friday night, when they have to go on the road again to play at Real Salt Lake. Mike, you know, you could talk about, you know, the changes at the beginning of the year. We've gone through this. I know. I get it. Or Pitty not living up to, you know, what we expect out of him and whatnot. But 13 goals in 12 games, when does this start to click for this team?
Good question. You know, you don't mind it if you're getting wins. And, you know, over that five-game win streak that had just been completed, you got three goals against Kansas City, but Barco was playing. I mean, I don't think you can discount how much it means to not have Barco with this team right now. But you were winning a lot of games by scoring one or two goals. You scored one against Colorado, who was bunkering. You scored one against Orlando. I think you were fatigued. You scored one against Vancouver. You were certainly fatigued. You got two against Toronto. So, man, John, I don't know. I mean, I think this is going to shape up as a season where Atlanta United is just going to be in a lot of low-scoring games. That's something we're going to have to get used to. Getting Barco back will help. I don't think there's much doubt about that, but that's a long way off. So you still have probably three or four matches and U.S. Open Cup to play without Barco. You've got to figure it out without him. And Pitty is frustrated right now. I don't think there's much doubt. I think he's getting frustrated with the way he's being officiated. He's getting frustrated that he's not getting as many fouls as he thinks he is earning. You got to find a way to play through that. But, you know, 13 matches into it, John, like you said, it's not just a trend now. It's not just a blip and outlier. It's the way it is. And I think it's just something that we're going to have to get used to. It doesn't mean they're playing unexciting games. I thought last night's match was very compelling, very exciting. You got a lot of corner kicks in the second half. You were knocking on the door. You just couldn't break them down. But, I mean, to your point, John, if it hasn't changed one-third of the way through the season, this is probably going to be their identity.
Mike, watching that match last night, how do you not take advantage of the man down by the Red Bulls for most of the match? You're talking about they play with 10 guys for most of the match. How do you not be able to take advantage of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question I've seen a lot on social media. Here's the best way I can answer it to you. When you're playing 11 on 10, it's not like having a 60-minute power play in ice hockey where it's 5-on-4 or 4-on-3. You know, in ice hockey, four guys or three guys can only cover so much of the ice, right? When you still have 10 guys playing in soccer, you can cover enough of the pitch defensively to make it hard to break you down. And quite frankly, I know this sounds weird, but hear me out. I think the red card may have been a little bit of a bad break for Atlanta United, because when Red Bulls were playing 11 on 11 and pressing, Atlanta United was actually doing a pretty good job handling that press. When Red Bulls got the red card, it gave Chris Armas a pretty easy decision. Look, we're playing down a man. We're going to play two lines of four. We're going to sit back. We're going to pack it in the box. We're going to make it difficult for Atlanta to play through. We'll hit them on a counter. We aren't going to press. That's very, very hard to break down. Atlanta United has had trouble all year breaking down teams that have used that tactic against them. And then on top of it, when you're playing up a man, I think sometimes there is a temptation mentally to let down a little bit. You know, you feel like, okay, we've got the advantage. We've got a man up. Scoring the goal should be easy. So from an emotional standpoint, maybe Atlanta United didn't handle that all that well last night. But it's weird. Red Bulls, in their last five matches in which they've had a red card, they haven't lost any of those five matches. Very, very strange, right? But I think that speaks to how it's not an automatic when you get a red card that you're just going to be able to go out and score three or four goals.
Hey, just one quick thing here in the final minute we have, Mike. The free kick from just outside the box that Pitty did not strike well. 10 corners. Does there have to be more emphasis on set plays? Because that's an area where Atlanta United could get goals, and they're just not.
Yeah, they need to work on corners. I don't think there's much doubt about it. You know, they have Miles Robinson now as a target, which is an element they didn't really have last year because of his height. But that was very frustrating. You had 10 corners, and you weren't close on any of them last night. They've got to work on that more. Here's the problem with the compressed schedule. And the problem today with having to travel today, you couldn't get a flight back last night. You've lost another day now. No training today because you're flying. You're going to lose Thursday because you have to fly to Utah. So they don't really have a lot of time to work on that right now, and that's been a big complication.
Mike, I look forward to getting you back home and then to Friday night against Real Salt Lake.
You're the man, Mike. Thank you very much.
Excited. excited to get out of this Newark airport, guys. I'll see you in a little bit.
All right, talk to you. Yeah, he's stuck out there in Newark, New Jersey at the airport. It is a nice airport, but nobody wants to be stuck there, that's for sure. All right, it is a really kind of wild Monday. We're reacting to a lot of things, but there's a story from over the weekend that if you didn't hear about it, you're going to have to hear about it. We're going to tell you next, and it involves a philanthropist at Morehouse College that is going to blow you away of what this guy did. Hey, Atlanta United fans, supporters. Fido Irish Pub at Buckhead is the place Friday night for the watch party starting at 8 for Atlanta against Real Salt Lake. Great food is always at Fido. Fido Irish Pub, the one in Buckhead, Friday night starting at 8 for the official watch party at Atlanta United and Real Salt Lake. Yeah, this story, what happened at Morehouse. Man, this is something. You got to hear this next. But John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks in this hour to Jerome Jurinovich and Mike Connie for joining the program. Andy Randy coming up top of the hour.
Andy Randy.
You know who the richest black man in America is?
No.
Robert F. Smith.
And I know who he is now, though.
Yeah, he was invited by Morehouse College to give the commencement speech, and he went full Oprah for the graduates at Morehouse College, and did this.
This is my class, 2019. And my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans. My class will make sure they pay this forward. And I want my class to look at these alumnus, these beautiful Morehouse brothers, and let's make sure every class has the same opportunity going forward.
Well, that is a high bar, but he paid off the student loan debt of everybody graduating in that class. Robert Smith, Hugh, has amassed a fortune that Forbes says is $5 billion. He is the founding member of Vista Equity Partners, a private equity firm that focuses on buying and selling software.
John Friggy, they say that's in somewhere in the neighborhood of like $40 million. Do you know, like, when I heard this, and when I hear this story and I read this story, it gives me goosebumps because do you know how much of a game changer that is for some of these young men to have all your student loans paid? I have friends that are damn near 50. That still complain about their student loans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've been paying off these student loans forever. For you to get a start in life where your credit has been wiped clean, you're straight, you know, no debt or anything like that from school, yeah, that's what he means by paying it forward. So now all those young men, it's going to be on them to help out somebody else. You have to. That's almost a lifetime commitment of paying it forward for you. Because that is huge. To pay off your student loans from college, Morehouse ain't cheap. Morehouse is not cheap.
All right, so Robert F. Smith sets a new bar. I'm talking to you, Kennesaw State. When you decide whoever
look
the commencement.
At you. See?
Yeah,
there
well,
you go.
I'm just saying. But I'm talking to you, Kennesaw State.
You know what's funny? Everybody was saying that. Everybody that I came out, I'm like, damn.
My daughter's going to be, come on now. I'm talking to you, Kennesaw State. You hear me? Make sure it's like when you select a commencement speaker. Now everybody say, "Is he going to pay? Is he or she going to pay off our student debt?"
That is like what has happened. Robert Smith has made it hard for anybody.
You get a car
to
you
do
get
a commitment. Yeah,
get
he's
a car,
made it hard. And then after that, John, what does a car mean when you're paying off student loans?
Well, that's what I mean.
I want no car.
Oprah.
I want no car. Fool, pay off these student loans.
Right,
man. Listen, congratulations to every young man that went to Morehouse. That graduated this weekend and has benefited from that, because that right there, I tell you, man, that's gonna put you so far ahead of the game of life. it's not even
but,
funny.
But now every billionaire that gets, you know, Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or anybody like that, you know, gets invited, Tim Cook, to be the commencement speech.
Well,
you're going, hey, by the way, isn't that an amazing story about what Robert Smith did at
Warren Buffett? Well, it's uncomfortable. He makes it uncomfortable.
Wow.
He makes it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you know, you're talking about just $40 million. You just stroke a check for $40 million. Just stroke a check. You know what? Like, that's really screaming money in the thing. Like, that is really doing it real big. That is the best gift that you could give anybody. Knock out these student loans. Give me a head start in life. And what he said, I was listening to a little bit of the speech. He said, I'm putting a little gas in your bus. Hell, you fill that bus up, that bus going to go a long way. That's a long trip, young man. Yes, with premium gas. So you need to, like, whatever you do in life, just make sure you're looking out for the next person.
All right, here's Robert F. Smith, according to the New York Times. Mr. Smith has a flamboyant side. He favors three-piece suits, owns one of Elton John's old pianos, hired John Legend and Seal and a youth orchestra to perform at his wedding on the Amalfi Coast.
Baller.
He named two of his sons Hendrix and Legend after Jimmy and Legend. He is married to Hope Dvorak, an actress and former Playboy model. What a
Whoa.
Shot. I mean, he is
yeah,
doing
I
it.
Mean, if you got that kind of – yeah, you're doing it big. You're doing it big. I ain't mad at it.
He is doing it big.
Hey, baby, I just wrote a check for $40 million.
He's from Denver. He
kids,
went to
I
Cornell.
Don't even know.
You know, I mean, the kids, he didn't – he's from Denver. He went to Cornell. It's not like he was born and raised in Atlanta and went to Morehouse.
Man, that's a beautiful thing. Like you have – like, kids that you don't even know. Like, you don't know everybody's name that was there. You've changed their life forever. Because you know some of them student loans in the excess of, what, $200,000 maybe? What is that, $100,000 something? It all depends. Whatever. But to get that clean slate in life, I mean, that is awesome. That is awesome. So shout out to Robert Smith. I mean, when you got that kind of bread, you're supposed to marry a former Playboy model.
Well, he's doing it right, and he changed, like I said, Kennesaw State.
Wait,
you said Oprah gave out books? Books? Oh, come on.
Wait a minute, hold up,
I don't
though.
Want no book.
Hold up, though, John. Think about it like this, though. What if, like, somebody else asked him to be their commencement speaker, and then they at the last minute they changed it? Or what if, like, that wasn't Morehouse's first choice?
But see, I'm going to be sitting in the stands.
Think about that,
wait,
though.
Wait. I'm going to sit in the stands at graduation this year at KSU, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be chanting, pay the debt, pay the debt.
Yeah, right. Nobody, it'll probably never happen, but nobody better not ask me to speak at nobody's school. Because the only thing I'm going to tell you to do is, hey, man, stay out of trouble. And listen, pay your student loans on time. Because don't expect me to help you pay these bills, because I got my own bills I'm contending with. So make sure you get a good job and keep good credit. Make sure you got good credit. Well, you know, pay them bills on time. That's it. I can't help you out with that. Can't do nothing with that.
Oh, I just thought we'd bring you that little slice of life story, which is really
that was awesome, man.
Really, really kind of fun, huh? All right, top of the hour, Andy and Randy as they get ready to roll through here. Braves tonight again against San Francisco. Mike Soroka will be on the mound trying to extend his great start. San Francisco not been kind to the Braves over the course of the last, I don't know, 53 years that they've been in Major League Baseball in Atlanta. So it's always been kind of a bugaboo place. We'll see if the Braves can continue this hot streak. And Brian Snicker saying, you know, what did he say? He said, we're just beginning to scratch the surface of who we can be. So Snicker kind of putting it on himself, Hugh.
Well, yeah, it's exciting. I mean, you think about all these young players that you have up here, John, and the fact that all of these young players are contributing in their own way, and it's just an exciting time for baseball. You know it's going to get better. It can't do anything but get better. And now it looks like, you know, you have some guys that you have in the bullpen that are starting to, you know, get comfortable. It can't do anything but get better. And you still have, like we always say, a lot of baseball to be played, but a lot of exciting baseball is potentially in the works for you.
Andy Randy, top of the hour. Talk to them in a moment on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.